Greetings, this is the Automatically Deleted Husband. I have so much, but I'm going to try to limit it because I have way too much. You know, maybe the shorter part is, you know, I am really concerned about the world my kids are entering into. And, you know, I watched a little bit more in the last few days. I've seen some reports about, you know, COP27 is happening in, Is it Egypt? I think it's Egypt. I could be wrong. That's a racket. That's a big time racket. And apparently now there's a push towards the richer countries sitting out literally trillions of dollars to support the poorer countries in development towards a green economy. It's a big time scam. And, you know, I really wonder if the environment thing is going to be a bigger killer than the COVID thing was. But, you know, the other side of the coin is, you know, that's happened. I think in Egypt, go a couple countries west, you have Algiers, and they apparently formally applied to be part of BRICS. So is it going to be BRICS? I think they're going to keep the name because they're bringing more and more countries into that, which is, again, showing, I think, the collapse of the West. So the dynamics of the world is changing radically. And I really do think one of the things that I've mentioned before to keep in mind is that, you know, we're moving from the dominance of political entities, countries, to the dominance of corporations. You know, BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, these are, I think, the big three in the world. I mean, multi-trillion dollar organizations that that have such control. It's ridiculous. And because they don't have to answer to their voters in the sense of their citizens, they answer to their shareholders. And the bigger shareholders have bigger votes. Anyway, it's really interesting. And I do wonder, because I see so many trends about collapsing, you know, a lot of things happened for, you know, the obvious would be the Soviet Union. One of the issues that caused its collapse is, why bother to work? I'm in the system. I just do the minimum and I'm fine. This is a common issue that happens in any kind of socialist type environment. And it's happening again. Especially as other countries have that socialist or communist structure, which, you know, the U.S. does. You know, that's the welfare programs, the social security system, and things of that nature. It is the foundation of socialism or communism. And we see, apparently, especially because China has had it for such a long time, there are issues with apparently the latest trend now. Because I've read, you know, I have an article from the, it's the, what is it called? South China, I'm having trouble. From a Chinese thing, the idea is called lying flat. Apparently, it was started by a guy who he got a role in a movie, whatnot, to play dead. And that was used to symbolize the idea of you need to work. I think they said like one day out of three, and the other 2 days you can just goof off, and because, you know, why bother? And so that apparently is an issue happening in China that the government is actively trying to suppress. It started in Nashville, Tennessee, just up the road. The idea of quiet quitting. The idea of I do the minimum in my job, or, you know, in some cases, because of my situation, I don't even have to show up. And obviously, this was the example that Facebook, Twitter, and so forth have had, because so many people, they would work a few hours a week if that. And so that's a tendency in the U.S. And you add that to the number of people who simply are they live on welfare. They don't see any reason to work. That's the thing that brings the collapse, because then they become a growing burden on the productive. So they have to be eliminated. So it's the same issue of you need to eliminate the retirees, because they're a burden and they're not bringing anything in. So you do things to eliminate the older people, and then you do things to eliminate. It's this Harari guy. He's a high placed in the World Economic Forum, and he talks about, because of the we have so many people in the world, we don't need them all, because we've become so much more efficient, so much more productive with machines and things of that nature, that we need to pacify them with, entertainment, video games, and things of that nature. And then the other thing is make sure they don't reproduce. So I think you see these things happening, and I really wonder about the dynamics of the culture, especially when my kids are in their 40s and 50s. And, their kids, my grandkids, and of course my great-grandkids. But speaking of, there are so many other things. I've been working on Shofar Nexus for a whole lot of years, and one of the aspects that has been a dominant idea is, you hear the idea of decentralization as a common term, and people look at, the great god of blockchain. That's malarkey. The blockchain, otherwise known in the 1970s, it was known as Merkle trees. Same idea. But the technique. It's decentralized. No, it's logically centralized, physically decentralized. So you have multiple people who can actually be get part of the blockchain, but at the same time, there is, in essence, a central chain. So and then of course there's records and all these kind of things. The reason it works is because you have to get back to the root of the chain, meaning there's a whole lot of records here. So there's a whole lot of techniques where you can be the complete anonymity. And over the years, I've worked on a lot of these techniques. For example, it's very few people care, but one of the problems with the internet is it's every device has an address, a unique address. It used to be a 32-bit number, also known as IPv4, and then late 90s, IPv6, Internet Protocol versions 4 and version 6 was developed. Instead of a 32-bit number, it's a 128-bit number, rather large. We're not going to run out. But the thing about it is that means every device, I've pointed out in one of my one of your Privacy is Lost videos how that's enough address space to give a unique address to every little, what example I use, every little bit of fuzz on your toenails. everyone has a unique, it is enough to identify every atom on the planet. And but the issue is that means, like blockchain, you can find things. And an overlord can find things. So many years ago, I came up with a technique called private routing, where I don't have to go to effectively an overlord saying, I want to go to chauffeurnexus.com or kozlowski.org. Where is that? I changed that system. And the routing is not done by an authority, but done by me as the client. I can decide how I'm going to get to a particular machine. I would suggest it's some interesting techniques. It has not been implemented because I haven't had the resources to do so. But it's growing ever closer. But, there are some other techniques about this being able to sell storage. you know, and see, the thing that I do is everything is a fixed size. So I can't say, oh, look, that's a large object, that's a small object. As a third party, it's always, you know, in the case of storage, it's always 1 gigabyte. You may be only, you know, going to little parts of it at a time, but it's always 1 gigabyte. So I have no idea, looking at the size of it, to say, well, it's a video file, it's a just a tiny little text file, it's an email, sound file, whatever. I can't tell, because it's almost at 1 gigabyte. And it's not only encrypted, but there's also, you only get part of the data, because part of it's over in this computer, part of it's in that computer, part of it's over there. These various techniques. But the idea of selling storage, remote storage, has become a multi-billion dollar industry. A lot of people will know of Dropbox. It's they've been a player for a number of years, and they are a multi-billion dollars of gross revenue for selling storage. And, you know, people say, oh, I want to, you know, store some data on that. Google does the same. Microsoft does the same, and so forth. Amazon. And they make billions upon billions of dollars doing this. There's two aspects. One is speed, and the other is reliability. Speed is a little bit more of a problem when you don't have that massive backbone, but that isn't such a big deal for the vast majority of cases. Reliability is, and of course the other thing is, if you go to Dropbox or one. They know your data. If you know, you use Google Docs, whatnot, they have your data. Oh, it's encrypted between you and them, but they've got it unencrypted. So they know you. One of the ways that they make money off of you is by knowing. That's why they give you free email, because you're the product. Because they read your emails. That's why they give you Google Docs with a certain amount of capacity for free, because they have your data and they read every bit of it. So, you know, and that's why things like, you know, when Skype, which was purchased by, and I mentioned this in one of those videos, Skype was a small company in Netherlands, I think, or Sweden, wherever it was, and Microsoft bought it. But initially, to make a Skype call, you talk to their server and say, hi, I'm John. Well, I'm Alice. I want to talk to Bob. that's the traditional. They would arrange the call, and then Alice and Bob would talk direct to each other. They wouldn't be involved in the conversation anymore. So their expenses were very small, and that's why they could give away the service for free. Microsoft bought the company, and over time they changed the technique to... It's not that you go direct. If Alice is talking to Bob, Microsoft is now in the middle. So they can do things like live translations, you know, voice translations of a phone call. It's really a, you know, amazing thing. But that's the issue. They're in the middle of the conversation, and they record every bit of it. You know, your phone calls are recorded always. They're recorded by, it used to be the Naris systems, and I don't know what they're used now, but, you know, it's that the infamous room 641A in San Francisco was the first one that was publicly exposed, where all telephone traffic is duplicated and sent to the Utah data center, the San Antonio data center, the NSA headquarters in Maryland, and the donut in England. Because the advantage of sending it to the donut in England is because we don't listen to your calls. Oh, the UK might, but we don't. And of course, they'll share the data with us, and we share their data with them because we do the same for them. That's the technique, how to get around, you know, federal laws and so forth. Anyway, this is the world we live in already, and of course, my kids will be in. But doing just using the storage, there's the other thing about the portfolio, which is more complex, and I want to be able to explain it better. But it brings you obviously to 1 Timothy 5:8, of course, because the technique that I have, and it's really taking time. but it's getting closer and closer. The technique that I have is, if you know, and again, just using the data aspect of it, I could have a little computer box sitting here that has, say, a terabyte of hard drive space that I sell, basically 1,000 gigabytes, and for maybe $1 a year. And if I do this in a large enough scale, I can live quite comfortably, thank you. Because, you know, I usually try to think of filling 30% of capacity. So if I invested on a complete standalone computer, let's say $200, and I get it 30% full, after a year, I've made $100. And after the second year, I'm at $400. And the third year, I'm at $700. And, you know, my attitude has been try to get it paid for and assume it's done and finished in 3 years, maybe five. But I'm very much ahead of the game. You know, and then obviously the issue is you may have to replace hardware and things of that nature. But so it's a profitable business venture. Obviously, if your capacity is higher, your percentages, your profit margin is much greater. But I think it'd be better. That's details. But the point of it, the design of it is, it's not a company, it's an ecosystem. So what I want to do as a provider of this service is not only do I want to sell mine, I want to promote others. Because if I promote others, the ecosystem grows. And the what makes it attractive is that me as a consumer, I'm going to go to 10 different providers. So all the providers want to say, let's make this business work by... And there's a whole bunch of reasons for this. But anyway, I won't dwell on that. What's the point here? As it's getting closer and closer, and I really hope it's... I was hoping to demo some of this by a week ago. And maybe at the end of next week. But I'm trying to do it very well. And there's a lot of beauty in what's happened in the last week, but that's another issue. But... You know, you may be familiar with, because it's been thrown at me numerous times, the 1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for members of his household, he is denied the faith and worse than an unbeliever. And I have gone and dissected that in depth previously, and I'm going to go a little further this time, because the word there, provide for, is pronoio, pro as in before, and noio, or the knowledge of something. Or to think beforehand, Thayer definition, to perceive beforehand, foresee, to provide, to think of beforehand. To look out beforehand. So, you know, the point that I've made in the 1 Timothy is the whole passage there is about providing for widows. And it's starting from verse 3, honor widows, the first word specifically widows, and it continues, you know, verse 9 is let a widow be enrolled. So the context is very much widows, and taking 8 out and taking it out of context is inappropriate. So, as I've contended, if you look at that passage, what he's saying there, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for the members of his own household, think beforehand. Who are the relatives he's concerned about? The widows, the moms, and the wives. Because Dorothy Jane becomes a widow when I die. And I need to think beforehand, or provide beforehand to take care of her. And you'll find the context so much if a widow has children or grandchildren. So this includes the widow of your wife or your mom who's become a widow. So it is very clear that's the context. We're supposed to plan for our wives and our mothers or even grandmothers. So they're taken care of when we're gone. I would suggest the context is clear. But let's go a little further. Because pronoio is used, three times in the scripture. And I will contend it's used consistently. For example, Romans 12:17. ESV is, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Give thought to do what is honorable. The give thought to is pronoio. You go back a few verses. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own eyes. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And so forth. And of course, there's the never, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Which is very important. But anyway, so the idea... these things that I'm supposed to do to, you know, bless those who persecute you, rejoice with those who rejoice, live in harmony, repay no one evil for evil. But, and I would suggest the but is in context. I wonder if in the LSV it's a single sentence. I didn't check that before. It is. Wow. because again, as I pointed out before, so many of the translations, ESV, NASB, you find the sentences are very short, but in the reality, when you look at the Young's Literal Translation or the Literal Standard Version, you see is massive sentences, multiple verses for one sentence. And I think that's because that's the way it's written. But, so let me read that, the one sentence. Bless those who are persecuting, bless and do not curse. To rejoice with the rejoicing and to weep with the weeping, of the same mind toward one another, not minding the high things, but with the lowly going along. Do not become wise in your own conceit, giving back no one evil for evil, providing right things before all men. One sentence. You know, these are semicolon separated. So it's, you know, you can argue, but the idea of, you know, when you separate with semicolons, as opposed to a period, it ties it all together. This is one package. But, you know, providing right things before all men, you know, I find this fascinating because what we're trying to do in that context to do these things, but we plan to do these things. So if I'm going to go meet some people that are celebrating and I want to rejoice with those who rejoice, I should plan with that ahead of time. If I'm going to a group of people who are weeping, I can plan ahead of time. But then even more, bless those persecute you, bless and do not curse them. It's not that, well, when it happens, I'll figure out something, but I'm planning to do that. I think that's vital. You know, live in harmony with one another. It's, well, okay, there's a problem. I'm make it a goal. I am actively figuring out how do I live in harmony with these people. And so forth. I find it fascinating. 2 Corinthians 8. We take this course so that no one should blame us about this generous gift that is being administered by us. For we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man. Again, we aim what is honorable. It is the pronoio. In other words, it's not something that, okay, we're in the middle of it. Let's figure out how to do this right. We plan to do this beforehand. It is not, you know, there is the idea in James about if the Lord wills, we'll go and to this city and make a profit, and supposed to saying things arrogantly. So it's not to say, I am going to do this, but I acknowledge it's if the Lord's wills, but at the same time, it is my goal. You know, it is my goal. It is my goal to finish. And it looks, you know, I set the goal of December 8th, 2023 to finish my 1 million jumping jacks. It's my plan, and only if the Lord wills. My problem is, it looks like I'm going to get there way beforehand, but I am planning on this. I have been thinking how to do this. When I go to the farmer's market tomorrow, I plan beforehand because there are people that I anticipate seeing, and I plan beforehand how to bless them because they're different and it's different contexts. So I have to make sure I think beforehand. So you go back to the 1 Timothy 5. How do I plan beforehand for my wife when she becomes a widow? You know, obviously she's abandoned me in my case. I haven't abandoned her. And so, you know, one of the things I point out is, you know, if a widow has children or grandchildren, so let them first show godliness to their own household, specifically to their mom and grandmother. And the issue there is, how do I do that? The command is clear, Deuteronomy 6, a father is supposed to teach his children. He walks along the road and so forth. So I need to teach my children. Of course, that's being denied me, but obviously this is what I'm trying to do here now. But that is the context of that. So using that context, there is teaching my kids, but I don't have access. So what can I do? Well, I'm working on this shofar nexus. If the Lord allows and it comes to life, it's not, you know, the whole purpose behind this design is it's not me. I am not the provider. I am not the corporation. I am not trying to build the next big massive corporation and make me a multimillionaire. I'm trying to make others lots of money. And by doing that, no one is dependent on the other party, including me. And what I can then go to, if this works, I can go to my kids and say, I'm going to hand you something. Use it. I'm going to set you up. Use it. You know, I especially think of Julia, who's been abandoned by her husband. If I could get this to her, and in 6 months to a year, it's providing her income instead of Chick-fil-A or whatever she's doing now. I've loved my grandkids too, because now their mom's at home. I want to do this to Erica Lee, even though, and Jack, even though both of them are less than fond of their dad. I would do this for Tirza. I have no idea about what she is, where she, you know, what she's doing, and so forth. And to George, Susanna, Glory Jane, Walter, and Zadok, even while they're living with their mom, to prepare them so they can serve their mom when I'm gone. So, this is my plan. This is what I'm thinking beforehand. This is what I'm planning for. And if the Lord wills, this will transpire. I have made a whole lot of mistakes in the process. The design has matured greatly. There is a small number of people interested. But Lord willing, a week ago, Friday, I will have, this Friday, maybe next Friday, the mechanics will be in place where I can promote this. And if that happens, then the wheels literally start moving. And maybe, because the Lord has sustained me all this time, maybe I will be able to fulfill 1 Timothy 5:8 in the context it is. I will be able to provide for my wife, even though, considering again the cards on the wall and the fact that I'm doing a voicemail, she obviously hates me. But I still love her. Beyond question, I love her, that lady. Love that lady. So anyway, I'm setting this out there. It is my hope to achieve the goal. But the issue is, whether I achieve the goal or not, I have something that so many people, most people, I think, don't. I can say I tried. Chauffeur Nexus is not simple. In one sense. In another sense, you know, my motto now is simple and consistent. What I've done in the last couple of days, which, you know, it's kind of like, I don't need to do this right now, but I did it anyway. I simplified a bunch of things, made the tools much easier, so as I work on the next part, I can see better what I'm doing. And anybody who uses this has those same tools because it's built in. Anyway, it is a work of art. It is a work of passion. And it is an act of love. Not only to my wife, my kids, but it's something I'm trying to give away as a blessing to many, as the Lord sees fit. He's allowed me to get this far. Maybe he'll bring me to the end. Maybe he won't. I don't know. But I have the joy, the privilege of trying. It'd be great if I wasn't alone. If, you know, I don't know, I had the woman I love and adore behind, sitting next to me, ending my day together, hearing her voice next to me, feeling her touch, being able to look into her eyes. My lady, my wife, I love you and I want you back.